Good morning. Welcome to ECBC Online. Thank you so much for joining us in whatever form that you're listening to this. Having looked at Pentecost for the past few weeks, we're returning to our series on Daniel, and we're picking the story up in Daniel 3. I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed this series. Daniel, as I've said several times, is one of my favourite books. Some great stories in there. But do let me know if you've been reading the book and find anything inspiring or interesting or stuff that you want to share. Really would love to hear your thoughts. We're picking the story up in Daniel 3, and it's one of the most famous, probably the most famous book, bit of the book of Daniel. It's the bit in the fiery furnace. So just to set up the story, we're in Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar has decided that he wants to make a big gold statue that everyone has to bow down and worship. And the Chaldeans, whoever they are in verse 8, spot that some of the Jewish people aren't bowing down to this statue, so dob them in. And we get to the bit in verse 13. Then, in a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar asked them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I've set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, and the rest of them, fall down and worship the statue I've made. But if you don't worship it, you'll be thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. And who is the god who could rescue you from my power?" And they replied, "Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." Nebuchadnezzar was filled into a rage. He ties the guys up. He sets the furnace to max, and then throws them in. And then in verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm. Then he said to his advisers, "Didn't we throw three men into the fire?" "Yes, of course, your majesty," they replied to the king. He exclaimed, "Look, I see four men not tied walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Let's pray. Father, as we read this passage, I pray that we would be inspired, we would receive something of your hope, we would receive something of your courage, that we would come closer to you as we look at this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's probably true that we all worship something. I mean, worship just means to ascribe worth, I guess. There's that song, isn't there? Whoever sung it, was it Mariah Carey? "Some people live for..." Yeah, that one. "Some people live for the fortune. Some people live for wealth." That was probably Nebuchadnezzar. This massive gold statue that he builds. This symbol of bling. This, look how wealthy I've become that I can afford to build this massive statue. And some of us, it's not dependent on how much money you've got. But some of us, we live for a bigger bank balance. That's our driving force, I suppose, that the number at the end of the month looks better than the number at the start of the month. Some of us, we live for popularity. Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, a bit of a strange character. There was an interview with Bono once, and they asked him about his mental stability, I think. And he replied something along the lines of, if you need 90,000 people shouting in adoration every night in order to make you feel okay, then you know there's not something quite right with yourself. And Nebuchadnezzar, less like the band U2, but also that same drive to be adored and getting all the people to bow down and worship a statue of him, like this narcissist tendency within him. And, I mean, we might not be demanding the screams and adorations of thousands of people, but some of us are driven by a need, a desire to be popular, to be the centre of attention, that's, we essentially worship ourselves. We want to put ourselves at the front. We need the applause. Some of us live to please those around us. And this is certainly true of like Nebuchadnezzar's henchmen, the yes men, I guess, who he surrounded himself with. And some of us, that's our raison d'etre, really, that we've got so used to, for whatever reason, we've got so used to trying to please people around us that we can't say no. That we can't really stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not right. Because we're so desperate for people to like us. And we see that a bit in the people that Nebuchadnezzar surrounds himself with, all of these yes men, as I say, and to the extent that when someone doesn't bow down, they're willing to dob them in and get them thrown into the furnace because they just want the king to like them. And maybe that's what we live for. I think it's true that we all worship something. We're born to worship. That we're created, it's part of our DNA, it's part of our makeup, that we want to worship something, we want to give worth to something. The question isn't, are you worshipping? The question is, what are you worshipping? And Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, what inspiring characters. When they're presented with a chance to climb the social ladder, as they're clearly doing along with Daniel and becoming more influential despite being enslaved at the start of the book. When they're given a chance to please the people around them, when they're given a chance, I'm sure, to amass wealth in this new country, when they're given a chance to save their own skins, and they turn to the king and they say, that is not worth living for. For those of us who find ourselves in destructive patterns of living, there's a point we need to reach where we realise that is not worth living for. That no matter how many views or clicks or likes or friends or followers you get, it's never enough. And there's part of you that needs to snap and say, to be honest, I'm not living for that anymore. There are some of us, as I say, who feel that we always need to please everyone all the time. We can't say no, and we're always apologising. We're always saying yes. And you just need to think, that's not worth living for. Some of us who are far too obsessed about our bank balances, there's a point where you think that is not worth living for. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego turn round and they say, I'm going to draw the line. A bit like Daniel we read earlier on in the book, he draws the line somewhere and so do these guys. They say, this far and no further. The way they do it is wonderful, isn't it? Because I heard a sermon on this several years ago, probably about 10 years ago, and I found my notes. And the preacher pointed out, these guys weren't fundamentalists. I don't know if you ever get to, like, as Christians, it can be popular sometimes to paint us as this like persecuted minority, which I've never particularly bought into. There's certainly some stuff that makes me uncomfortable. But hey, if you want to talk about persecution, the UK is not the place to look. Let's be honest. There's some genuine persecution, really awful, going on all around the world, and I don't think the UK Christians are the ones being persecuted anyway. There's a temptation when we feel like we're being persecuted to lash out, to pass laws, to make everyone else agree with us and force them to do what we want to do. But these three guys don't do that. They follow their God. They worship their God. They don't tell everyone else not to bow down to the statue. They don't try and impose laws that make it difficult for them to worship. No, they follow their God knowing that their example will change the culture. They don't need to enforce the change through violence. They don't need to enforce the change through laws. They don't need to make everyone else a Christian by changing it on their birth certificate. They follow their God knowing that their example will change the culture. Unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar isn't really one for changing. And so throws them into the fire. But before he does, there's this fantastic line that if you forget everything else from this morning, I hope you remember this. This is what they say to the king when he threatens to chuck them in the furnace. They say, if the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. He can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. God can rescue us, and even if he doesn't, we are still going to follow him. We are still going to draw the line. We are still going to say no to your gods. We are still not going to worship your golden statue. What bravery. And that sentence, for me, it cuts to the heart of my endless questions about suffering. My endless questions about why. Why does this happen? Why does God seem to save some and not others? They say, whether or not we are delivered, we still only worship him. Whether or not we are saved, this is still worth drawing a line in the sand for. And you think back at some of the heroes of civil rights movements, about heroes of religious rights movements, about people who stood up for their faith. We think of Martin Luther King. We think of Desmond Tutu. We think of people who said, God can save us, but even if he does not, I'm still drawing the line here. I'm still worshipping my God, no matter the cost. I mean, there are times, we read in this story of a time where God comes through and saves. I'm sure you've got stories in your own life or stories you've heard of where God has come through and transformed a situation and delivered someone. Corrie ten Boom, you read that story about God rescuing her from a dire and evil and hellish situation. And you might have stories in your own life, maybe not as dramatic, but of where God has delivered you and transformed a situation and lifted you up and brought you out of the fiery furnace. There are times when he doesn't. And I don't know why. Corrie ten Boom's sister, she didn't survive. Although Desmond Tutu did, Oscar Romero didn't. I don't know why sometimes we come out of the fiery furnace and sometimes we don't. I don't know why sometimes God shuts the lion's mouths and sometimes those mouths aren't shut. I don't know why some people make it and others don't. But I want to have the courage, like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and say God can save us, and even if he doesn't, I'm still following him. God can protect us from your power, O King. And even if he doesn't this time, I'm still not going to bow down to your statue. And the reason we can have that faith is because even if God doesn't save us this time, we have a resurrection. We believe in the resurrection. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego can say, even if God doesn't save us this time, O King, from your fiery furnace and your cruel punishments, it doesn't matter, because he will redeem us. He will deliver us. Maybe not today, but one day. And for those like Corrie ten Boom's sister or Oscar Romero, although they weren't delivered that time, we know that they are delivered. We know that they are redeemed. We know that their sacrifices didn't count for nothing. We know that there is a resurrection. And in this story, God does deliver them. God does save them. For them, the furnace isn't the end. And there's a wonderful bit towards the end of the story where they're in the furnace and the king looks and he says, weren't there only three? I can definitely see four. And that one looks like a son of God's. I don't believe that Christianity should ever be enforced at the end of a gun as in the Crusades. I don't think that you can make it the law that everyone has to be a Christian and expect that to develop a meaningful spirituality like in the Roman Empire. I don't think you're a Christian by what's on your birth certificate. I think you're a Christian by what's in your heart, and I don't think you can force that on anyone. But like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, I believe that the example we set by the way that we live, I believe that the things we say yes to and the things we say no to, I believe that the integrity we show in positions of power, that is an example and a demonstration to people, and in that they see Jesus. That, I believe, is what changes the culture. Not shouting louder, but by living truer. Not by pushing people down, pointing the finger and telling everyone that they shouldn't be bowing down to that statue and they should be doing this instead. By following our God and demonstrating to others how that changes our life. By drawing the line and saying this far and no further. By demonstrating a life of love and respect, of integrity. As we do that, then others see the fourth man walking with us. As we go through suffering, that is when others will see Jesus walking alongside you. Thing is, I don't even know if they knew. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego walking around in the fire. I mean, did they even see the fourth character? But King Nebuchadnezzar did. When you're going through the furnace, the suffering, the difficult decisions, when you feel your faith being tested, you might not see God walking with you. But others will. Others will. I pray for us that we would have the courage of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego to say, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. He can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Father, I pray that we would have that courage. I pray we would have the courage to say that we will serve you no matter what, that we will worship you, that there are things that we need to say no to that are not worth living for, and instead we put our faith and our trust in you, the living God. Father, I pray that as we live a life that looks like Jesus, as we follow your call, as we live a life of integrity and faith, I pray others would see you walking with us. As we go through the furnace, I pray we would know your presence and that those around us would see you carrying us. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.